I wish I could talk to Matthew. The scripture gives us so little. We know that Matthew was a tax collector, which means he was a Jew who had decided that making money was more important than his family or friends, that he was willing to extract taxes or dues from everyone he knew and give them to the Roman Empire, and that in so doing he would be paid well. And some tax collectors, I hope it wasn't Matthew, but some of them would also charge a little bit more and then take a little bit before they gave it to the Roman Empire. So we're talking about someone that no one wanted to see. Really worse than an IRS agent. When my son was about 10, for Halloween, he decided to dress up as an IRS agent, and I said, now if that guy came to the door, I really would be scared. But I would like to ask Matthew, did he know Jesus? Did Jesus give him some kind of a warning? Did Jesus come like a week or two beforehand to say, I want you to get ready because I'm going to walk by and invite you to follow me. So pack up all your money and all your stuff so you're ready to go. Do you think Jesus did that? I don't think so either. Jesus was more of a spirit-filled, spontaneous kind of a guy. So most likely, he was walking by the tax booth. You know, tax booths were kind of like toll booths, but a lot worse. The tax collector would sit there at some kind of an intersection of the roads with a little tent and a table, and as you were passing by, he'd say, oh yeah, you, Mr. Smith, have you paid your taxes? Oh, I see you haven't. Come on over. Or they would be at a port waiting for people to come in. Everyone dreaded the tax booth. But Jesus is walking by, and here's Matthew with logs full of people's names written down and how much they owe. So these are really important records, and probably a lot of coin. And he's sitting there at the tax booth, surrounded by all these important documents and all this money. And Jesus says what? Two words. He doesn't say, do you believe in me? Do you accept me as your Savior? None of that. He says simply, follow me. It's not even a question. And Matthew gets up and follows him, which means he left all the ledgers behind and all the money, which means he ain't never going back to that job. In that moment, in that decision, everything changed for Matthew. He let go of his whole life to follow. He got up and he moved. You know, in the book of Genesis, there are really two parts to the book of Genesis. There's the whole creation stories and Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, all that stuff. And then the second part begins with this man named Abram. And God says to Abram, who's living in this polytheistic city, Ur of the Chaldeans, God says to Abram, not, do you believe in me? Do you accept me? God says, get up and move. And Abram does the same thing. He leaves everything he knows, and he walks out into the desert, which is like risking your life. I mean, he brings a lot of people and animals and stuff, but still, walking out into the desert, not knowing where you're going or whether the desert ends at any point, is dangerous. It's almost kind of crazy. But God said, get up and move. And Abram does. And God says that Abram is faithful. Not because of anything he says, but because of what he does. Now, it's interesting, in the world in which we exist today, the word Christian has been stretched. It means so much, I'm almost not sure what it means anymore. People will say they're Christian, but I don't recognize what they're doing. They'll say they're Christian, then they'll cut somebody off in traffic or take advantage of somebody or worse. I have a good friend who I went to seminary with. He's now a professor of religion, John Lewis, and he wrote a book about discernment in the early church on today. And in his book, he says, I'm not going to use the word Christian anymore. It's kind of too big now. It doesn't mean much. I'm going to say Christ follower. Christ follower. Is a person following Christ or not? You can see, are they serving the poor? Are they giving? Are they going to church? Are they saying their prayers? Either someone is following Christ or they're not following Christ. It's easier to measure. It's interesting. Jesus doesn't talk much about belief until the Last Supper with the disciples, when they had been following him for years and they loved him and knew him. And then he said, believe in me. Put your trust in me. Because they needed to believe, because they wouldn't be able to follow him to the cross. When someone comes to me in this day and age and says, I don't believe in anything, can you prove the existence of God to me? I won't argue with them or try to convince them. Usually what I will say is, if you want to believe in God, start following Jesus. Walk the walk. If you can give it about 2 months' time, I want you to pray for 20 minutes a day. I want you to try to serve the poor in some way, face to face. I want you to give. I want you to come to worship and just practice the faith. Just walk the walk. And every time when they've gotten into the practice, they've started to come to me saying, something's happening to me. I'm beginning to believe. I hope you all have met Ed Daniels, our seminarian. Ed, can you wave your hand over there? Have you all met him now? Ed gave me permission to tell you his story about how he came to be in seminary. Ed is a computer guy. He works with AI and with computers in ways that I will never understand. So I'm not going to explain to you anything about what he does for a living. But I do know that Ed was working in New York City, and he wanted to get out from behind the computer screen at lunchtime, so he started walking. And every day he would walk by the Cathedral of St. John the Divine. How many of you have been there? So beautiful. It is, I think, the biggest cathedral in the world. Well, the Cathedral of St. John the Divine charges if you just want to come and take a tour or walk around. It's $35 to get in now. But if you're coming to a worship service, it's free. So Ed was passing by at the lunch hour, and it was cold and rainy, and he thought, I want to go in, and it's free if I say I'm going to the service. And every weekday, there's a service at noon, a Eucharist. in one of the chapels. It's very small and intimate, and every day there's a different priest. There's the Monday priest, who was a short lady, and there's the Tuesday priest, who was a big guy with a booming voice, and so on. So every day, Ed would say he was going to the service, and then because he had some integrity, he did go to the service. And he just started practicing, just going to church. Really, because he wanted to get in out of the rain. And it was beautiful. But as he began to go to the Eucharist day after day, week after week, something began to shift. If you ask him, I don't think he could tell you when exactly it changed. But his heart started changing. And something began to grow. And he knew he just wanted to be around the altar all the time. So he signed up to go to seminary, and here he is. And if you ask him about what he believes, he'll tell you now, but he couldn't have told you then. He just started to follow, and everything else came after that. I think that's the way you're supposed to do it. Not that it's bad to believe. Of course we want to believe, but choosing to walk the walk is how we shape our souls. And how do you walk? Well, God will show you each step of the way. For those of you who are old like me, do you remember before the GPS? How someone would say, I'm going to pull out in front of you and follow me, and you would be driving and following a car in front of you, and how they would go through a yellow light and you would have to stop at the red light and they'd keep going and you'd pray that they pulled over, because how are you going to follow them when they were so far ahead? Do you remember that? Well, I like to say that I'm a Christ follower, but I feel like Christ has gone way ahead. And I can't see him anymore, but I do know what kind of decisions he probably made. So when I come to a decision in my life, I have to say, ha, what would Jesus do? Oh yeah, he forgave a lot. Shoot. So at every decision, you know where to go, or at least some of the options, because there might be more than one thing that Jesus would do. But you're going to have to decide for yourself what the next step is. How do you serve? You know, if you sign up to do something in church, it gets you here a lot more. If you usher or do the flowers or greet people in the parking lot, that's part of the reason I became a priest. I knew if I signed up to be at the altar all the time, I'd be there all the time. Just walk the walk, and don't worry so much about your feelings and thoughts. They're all over the place. Just walk the walk and say the creed. You know, at the very end of today's gospel, there's a little girl who dies. Jesus goes to her bedside, and it's such a tender moment. He takes her hand. I don't know what he said. Probably, come with me, or come to me, come back to me. And she comes from death. She comes back to life for him. And as followers of Jesus, as Christ followers, I really do think that one day we will be also at the brink of death, and he will say, follow me. And hopefully we've been trying to follow him for our whole life. So we'll say, okay, I know how to do that. I'm going to follow you. And we'll follow him right into eternity. Isn't that the way you want to go? I want to go in that direction. Don't you? So let's get practicing now, Christ followers. One step at a time. Amen.